Today on the DML News Podcast, Joe Biden screaming at the American citizen, telling lies, pissing people off, and just looking like a guy who's strung up on drugs. And if anybody knows about people being strung up on drugs, it's Joe Biden. We're going to get into that today, and it's all unfiltered.
Dennis Michael Lynch gives you his word, and he will never let you down. He will always fight for America.
The only one who really puts his money where his mouth is Dennis Michael Lynch.
Hello, I'm Dennis Michael Lynch, and I thank you for joining me today. Across from me, as always, is my son Denny on the controls. As always, is my son Ryan. Ryan, make sure you turn on your microphone. Going to be adding you in here to get your feeling on things. Wow. I mean, that's all I can say is wow. I have watched pretty much every State of the Union since going back to Clinton days. I have never, ever in my life seen what I saw last night, starting with, we're supposed to start at 9 o'clock on the dot. And meanwhile, by the time he actually takes the microphone, it's about 9:26. So he's almost a half hour late. That alone shows a level of disrespect. Unless you're saying, hey, they were waiting for the drugs to kick in, and that's why he was late. Because, man, let me tell you something. I've never, ever seen a president that is so on drugs like there was last night. And later in the program, hopefully we'll be able to find it, Sean Hannity last night after the speech did a side-by-side. He called him Jacked Up Joe. He said, here's Joe Biden on normal days. Slow. Gee, I must have forgot that one. What were we just saying? And then last night, Joe Biden, who's speaking like this, we're going to do this and 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 that. It was two different people.
Your eyes are too open. You got more squinty.
Yeah, squinting, right? Yeah. America's safer today than it was when I took it over. And it was like, holy cow. And I've never, ever seen, with the exception of Nancy Pelosi, I've never seen a Speaker of a House for the entire speech look like, are we in the Twilight Zone? What is this guy talking about? Is he living in the same country we are? I mean, and last night, the three of us were on Team DML in the live chat there. Lots of fun. If you're not a Team DML member, I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to teamdml.com, look at the different options, or take your DML news app, go over to the Interact tab, which is the fifth tab at the top. It says Team DML Memberships. And so we'd love to have you as a Team DML member. Make sure you get in there and join us. What was your take? I mean, you and Ryan were together watching this where you live together. I mean, what was your take when you seen this?
Having Team DML last night totally made it worth it. I hope Lisa's doing okay today, because I know a few of us were trying to do the drinking game, and my gosh, if you were following by the rules play by play, it would probably be equivalent to like going to a college party three nights in a row. And look, Speaker Johnson kind of made it worth it too. I think his expressions painted how we were all feeling. Not to mention, I mean, like you said, he was definitely, meaning Biden, was getting shuffled in. They broke protocol. Usually the House Speaker introduces the president coming to speak before the Capitol. They didn't do that. And I got to give credit to Tony here, Tony Weschler. He said, like, you...
He's a Team DML member.
He's a Team DML member. Yep. And he pointed out that, you know, typically Biden has, you know, bright blue eyes. And usually when you're on some kind of drug, your pupils get dilated and intense. You could see that last night. He was squinting. He was yelling. He was mumbling. I mean, it really did feel like it was a speed train on a track that was just starting to come off the tracks towards the end. Yeah. Ryan and I, we had tuned in probably like as everyone did, you know, actually we tuned in on time, but yeah, like you said, he was late, meaning Biden. And they are just so out of touch, the politicians in D.C., because you look at the different camera shots, they're all, you know, laughing and being jolly with each other. And you just wonder, I'm like, are they actually getting anything done? Or is this all just a round robin of patting each other?
Why wouldn't
the back?
They be happy, Dennis? Each one of them is making almost $200,000 a year with a guaranteed pension for the rest of their life. They get all of their health care paid for. I mean, come on, they've got it all, and they go to the parties. They're treated like gold. They only have to work 6 months out of the year. I mean, it's and all the things that really have to be done, the hard work, are done by staffers. So I would be smiling too, because they don't feel the pain of the rest of the Americans do. Yeah, sure, they have to pay more for food just like you do and I do. But, you know, going back to what you just said, it's supposed to start at 9. In the whole presentation of, hey, I was 26 minutes late, we really don't care that we're pissing you off. We know you have work tomorrow if you're lucky to have it. We know it's a school day tomorrow if your kids have to go to school. And we know that even if you're old, this is going to be running almost until 11 o'clock. No sorry, no nothing. I mean, the first thing I would say if I were the president of the United States, hey, sorry, I'm a little bit late. Protesters outside wouldn't let me in. You know, or something of that later, you know, hey, you know what, we got to fit that these red lights in Washington, D.C., you know, you think I could blow them. I'd make a joke, but I would say I was apologetic to it. He didn't. And then right away, it is as if somebody hit the fast forward button and he just spoke on adrenaline fast forward. And he went in there. I mean, the first thing he talks about is another nation. You know, yep. He starts talking. I mean, the first thing out of his mouth, we got so many problems in this country. First thing out of his mouth, he starts talking about another country. And it's just so indicative of who it is we're talking about here. And one of the highlights, I mean, he was just screaming. He was screaming the entire night. It was screaming. It was loud. It was typical Joe Biden, angry Joe Biden.
And again, I think Team DML made it so much worth it, because when you have to sit there and you know that it's just lie after lie after lie, and like you said, screaming after scream. I mean, so I think it was Nicole Fiskin, another Team DML member. She said it was angry man on the lawn, you know, angry old man on the lawn kind of speech.
Yeah, just, get off my lawn.
And it felt more of a campaign speech, like a flimsy campaign speech, than an actual State of the Union address.
It was extremely divisive. There was nothing of unifying measure at all. There was just a whole lot of nonsense. I mean, and the lies spewed. And, you know, there's a thing called cadence. And as a guy who gives a speech, if you're telling a joke, if you're telling something that's sincere, if you're telling something that's excellent, you've got to put a cadence in. It emphasizes everything. That's why, look, if I walked up to you today, or when I see you, I say, hey, Dan, how you doing today? Right? I don't go, hey, Dan, how you doing today? When I start the show, what do I say? Today on the Dennis, I never talk like that, or hello, but that's showbiz, so to say. If I just went, today on the Dennis Michael Lynch podcast, we're going to be talking about this, that, this, and that. And thank you very much for coming. Hey, Denny's across from me, and Ryan's across from me, and hey, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff like that. That's what he did. And I at the beginning, when I'm sitting there next to your mother, I'm like, whoa, I felt like I was just getting rolled over by words. I'm like, what is he talking about? Yeah. What is he saying? I couldn't even zone into what the topics were, because they were all thrown on top of each other. It was the biggest mumbling, bumbling speech that went 100 miles an hour that I've ever witnessed, State of the Union or otherwise.
No cadence, no decorum. Even when he walked in, like mostly Democrats, but they're taking selfies with him. And it just felt so ridiculous. I'm like, are you guys high schoolers, or are you supposed to be, you know, leaders of your districts and your states? It just, it was a banana show.
He looked like he walked in to be like, hey, what movie are they playing tonight? We're watching a movie. I hope it's my favorite one. Do we have ice cream?
Yes.
I mean, he was like looking like that, like, wow, this is a birthday party for me. Yeah. And all of a sudden it was like, he turned the switch, didn't remember that he's got to let, like you said, Speaker Johnson introduce him. Just goes into it, fires off it right away. Now, one of the big moments of the night was when Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was wearing a Trump 2020 Make America Great Again hat, she's a riot, this one. She knows how to get the cameras. And she starts screaming to him about say her name towards Laken Riley. And just for those people who don't know, the girl's name is Laken, L-A-K-E-N, Laken Riley. It is unique. I've never heard of a Laken before. It probably has some sort of uniqueness, like the parents came up with something. It probably means something that combined. And she screams, say her name. He knew this was coming. So he's got a little Laken Riley button next to him on the podium, all staged there. He pulls it out, holds it up in two things that are amazing. Number one, he says her name wrong. Number two, he admits that we have illegals, not undocumented, no, not newcomers, nothing else. The real Joe Biden came out for a second. Dennis, I mean, Ryan, play the video and then come back and let's get our commentary.
Laken Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal.
I had a feeling Marjorie Taylor Greene was going to hit him hard with it. I mean, she represents Georgia, and that murder of Lakin happened in Georgia. And to your point, it was off teleprompter with Biden addressing it. I think that was probably the first time he ever actually said her name. And
but he said it
incorrectly,
wrong.
You know, Lincoln instead of Lakin. And to your point, he goes off script, and he actually, like, it was probably the small little window that we saw into what is left of real Joe Biden. And he said, you know, she was killed by an illegal. I'm sure the Democrats and their part of the audience there, you know, gave a little bit of a gasp, like, oh my gosh, how could you know, say the word? But it was just so disrespectful the way he tried to bulldozer over it. It felt so ingenuine. And then, you know, he's looking up. I don't even know if her parents were actually there. I mean, were they? Looking,
That would have been all about.
So, you know, he's like looking up saying like, you know, oh, and then of course. Hold on,
let me finish your sentence. He's looking up into the rafters where usually the guests are, up into the balcony. And he says, you know, I'm sorry for her parents, you know, her parents looking up like they're up in the stadium. I do not know that they were there. I mean, maybe they were invited by Republicans. I have no idea, but nobody, Fox News, nobody said anything about it at all.
But he does this thing where he just makes everything about himself, because right. At some point in that apology, he brings up about losing Bo. Well, you know, again, death is tragic by all means. Lakin Riley was a 22-year-old student murdered by an illegal Venezuelan who shouldn't have been here. Bo Biden was in his late 40s, and he died from cancer. Right. So again, it just he takes what the actual issue is and just always brings it back to himself. And it was definitely a moment where I'm glad Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, called him out on it and made him stumble that way, because it just shows, you know, he had no actual empathy to what happened.
The clip we played yesterday from CNBC with Joe Scarborough. Joe Scarborough was saying about how Joe Biden is just, he's sharp and this is the best Joe Biden ever or whatever. And he went into a little bit of a rant about the old Joe Biden was a very angry man, very angry man. In fact, his words were, the Irishman comes out. So funny, you know, he's allowed to be there on television and say the Irishman comes out. If I sat there and said the mad black guy came out, the angry black man came out, I'd be kicked off television. But you're allowed to say Irishman. Don't worry about it. You could denigrate anybody who's white. But more importantly than that, he said that he was angry. When you look at Joe Biden last night, you said it was the only time you got a glimpse of the real Joe Biden, because deep down, Joe Biden doesn't like the illegal alien. Joe Biden, I've listened to speech of Joe Biden going back in the Obama days, going back in the 2000 before Obama days, when he was voting for the Fence Act. That was, you know, basically the version of the wall that you see today is the result of the Fence Act, which was put forward by George W. Bush. And Biden was meeting with Democrat voters or donors or whoever and was explaining why we need a fence to keep these people out, that they're not sending in good people, that they're ruining the job. I mean, he sounded like Trump sounds today when Trump gives a speech. And I think what you got was the real Joe Biden for about a second last night, because he went off prompter. Now, with that being said, you spoke about, you just said something about with the response from the Democrats. The Democrats today are trying to play this off as being one of the best speeches that have ever been given. Last night, Nancy Pelosi made an appearance last night in the post game, if you will, on CNN. And Mom and I went over, we were flipping back and forth because it's so funny. You watch Fox News and then you watch CNN and it's like you watch two different speeches, right? So Nancy Pelosi was saying about how she didn't find it to be a problem that Joe Biden didn't use the word undocumented. It's okay. There was no word that he used illegal. He should have used undocumented, but it's okay. It's okay. It's okay when he does it. But when Trump gets up there and calls them illegals, he's disgusting and he's a racist. But Joe Biden, it's okay. It's okay, Nancy tells us. So Nancy Pelosi, who is 83 years old, who's actually older than Biden, she then was on television again this morning saying that the American people loved that speech. Ryan, play the video of Nancy Pelosi this morning on CNN.
What really, frankly, we were watching last night was the president, his command of the issues, his forcefulness in how he presented it all, whatever the decision was on the part of the Republicans to respond or not. what really, frankly, we were watching last night was the president, his command of the issues, his forcefulness in how he presented it all, whatever the decision was on the part of the Republicans to respond or not was their decision. But what we were concerned about was how the American people responded to President Biden last night, and they did in a very positive way. The response, when the president came in, we were so excited to see him. His welcome was overwhelming. What was more important is after he spoke, it was even more overwhelming. And what we saw is what we will continue to see. A message is only as important as it's repeated and reinforced, not only by the principal, but by the members of Congress as well throughout the country. So it was a triumphant evening, regardless of the Republican response.
Dennis, I don't know. You know, a Democrat can look you right in the eye and lie to you, and they don't care. They don't care. Because you know what? They could look in the mirror and lie themselves. So if you could lie to yourself, you could lie to anybody. Nancy Pelosi is the biggest liar, as far as I am concerned, when it comes to looking at women in Congress. She's the most despicable woman, notwithstanding Hillary Clinton, who obviously is out of the realm. I can't understand how any American thinks that last night's speech was good. I can tell you that I was on Facebook last night posting constantly, you know, a lot of jokes saying, you know, Joe Biden looks like an old man who snorted Viagra. You know, Joe Biden looks like the last 30 minutes of Driving Miss Daisy. You know, and everybody's coming back. You know, Joe Biden looks like he's on amphetamines, which basically when you take something like that, basically it speeds up your speech and you get more intensified and you have no pause and it's just running. I mean, if you were to show a video, if a doctor said, let me show you what it looks like when you are not on and when you are on amphetamines, he would show Joe Biden's video. I mean, it was clear. I can tell you somebody else who didn't think it was a good night last night or a good speech, Dennis. And that is the Gold Star dad who screamed from the rafters. Let's play that video, and then you give the details about what happened to that poor father after the video. Go ahead, Ryan, play the video.
All Americans deserve the freedom to be safe, and America is safer today than when I took office. Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%. 30% they went up. The biggest increase in history. It was then. Through my American Rescue Plan, which every American voted against, I might add, we made the largest investment in public safety ever. Last year, the murder rate saw the sharpest decrease in history. Violent crime fell to one of its lowest levels in more than 50 years. But we have more to do.
So I might be butchering his last name here. Steve Nakui. He is the father of a lieutenant corporal who was killed in the Afghanistan withdrawal. And I think when he had shouted out at Biden, I believe he was saying U.S. Marines, U.S. Marines, and Abbeygate, which is where the 13 were killed. So you would think, right, okay, he interrupted the speech. I mean, so did some of the Republicans. And you can see on camera that he's getting guided out, but it just doesn't even end there. He was actually arrested for interrupting the speech. And when you take that, right, a father who is suffering because his son, who is serving his country, dies in a disastrous withdrawal initiated by Biden, and calls him out on it because, you know, Biden just gets to stand up there on his amphetamines and just lie. You're going to arrest him? It felt so detached from what I feel like a State of the Union and our country is supposed to be, that it just felt unjust. It felt wrong and gross. And I think just that image alone of him being escorted out, I think that's probably the emblem of what that entire State of the Union was last night.
Oh, I think it could even go further than that, Dennis. I mean, think about this. This poor man up there, you know, you got to go through the process in order to truly understand. And I know it's very hard for you and Ryan to understand this because you don't have children. But, you know, you have your kids, especially if you got boys. You try to teach them how to be men, and you try to teach them manners and what it means to be a patriot and a good American and, you know, red, white, and blue. And then your son comes to you and says, hey, I want to join the Marines. And there's probably a sense of incredible pride and at the same time, incredible fear because the world is a dangerous place. When your son says he wants to do that and you have a president like Donald Trump, you're a little less afraid. But if your son says that and you've got Joe Biden in office or you got Barack Obama, you know, you're even more afraid. I remember giving, just as a side note, I remember giving a speech in Arizona. Remember it? I could see it as I'm telling you the story. And this is going back, my God, it's got to be almost 10 years ago. And Barack Obama was the president of the United States at the time. And after I gave a speech, probably about 400 or 500 people there, I was signing autographs outside. And a young man came up to me, built like a brick shit house, just cropped hair, the whole nine yards, looked like he was on a weekend getaway from the military. And he said to me, he says, I'm a member of the military. He says, and I can tell you right now, I would have no problem laying my life down for you, but laying it down for Barack Obama, I have a real problem with. And I was like, holy cow. I mean, it was very, very impactful. So when you're a father and you see your son going off in his Marine Corps uniform, you know, you're equally as proud as you are nervous. And when you hear that your son's in Afghanistan and that Joe Biden is going to pull out of Afghanistan, you know, I know what I would be like. I'd be like, oh my God, man, I hope this goes all right. I hope this goes all right. And then when you see all of the things that Joe Biden does, the disrespect that he has for our borders, the disrespect he has for our police, the disrespect he has for any kind of authority or anybody whatsoever, and how haphazard he is that he can't even walk up the steps without falling down. He can't say who his wife is versus daughter is. I mean, it's versus sister. I know I would be extremely nervous. It's almost like putting your baby in a car with a drunk driver. You know, you're praying they get home alive. Oh my God. So with that said, if you're sitting on television, imagine this, and you hear that there is a suicide bomber and you're also seeing people actually holding onto airplanes as they're taking off to try to escape this. Imagine your son is thousands of miles away. You're sitting in your living room watching this, probably on Fox News or something of that nature. Your stomach has to go nuts. And then all of a sudden, somebody comes up and knocks on your door one day, and they're in a full-blown Marine Corps uniform, and they tell you that your son's passed. That boy didn't have to die, although he signed up knowing that he might have to. But he didn't have to. It didn't have to happen. Joe Biden has never apologized for that. There has never been anybody ever held accountable for that, for that whole botched thing. Nobody. Nobody's ever been held accountable. If the only person that I ever remember being held accountable, if everybody remembers this, it went viral. There was actually a Marine who went on social media and started criticizing the approach that the Bidens took, that the military took, and he wound up getting kicked out with a dishonorable discharge. So, in fact, I invited his parents on the show. I interviewed them. So he's the only one who ever got held accountable because he went on social media and criticized the pullout. With that being said, this man has had the greatest loss, notwithstanding the loss his son took. His son gave his life for this country, and that father is there. To hear Joe Biden say that the country is more safe today than when he took it over, not only is that a lie, not only is that a statement of a blind, drugged-up man, but that is sticking a knife in the back of Lake and Riley's parents, to that Gold Star father, and to all the other people who have lost a loved one in these kind of manners. I mean, fentanyl. I mean, we got kids falling over fentanyl every single day, multiple times a day here. It's insulting. And I know if I'm sitting up there, I'm not holding back either. I'm screaming because I've lost my baby. I've lost my son, and I didn't have to. The fact that they would arrest that man is like pissing on that dead Marine's soul. And that right there, when you say that describes kind of the State of the Union, no, that describes how America is. The fact that we do bad things to good people and that good people have bad things done to them and there's never any recourse. It to me, watching that, that was the saddest moment. I was more sad than watching that guy come out and give a speech on drugs. The fact that we have to drug up a president in order to be able to give a speech is sad enough as it is. There was something else that he said last night, Dennis, that I was just shocked by. Trump actually, I think this is one time when you say Biden's wrong and Trump's wrong. Donald Trump quoted Biden. Here it is. And he quoted Biden in a Truth Social post, and here's what Trump wrote. The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to help beat cancer, turning setback into comeback. That was Joe. And then Trump wrote, you're welcome, Joe. 9-month approval time versus 12 years that it would have taken you. So Trump to this day still champions for the COVID jabs. And, you know, the fact of the matter is the COVID jab was bad and it didn't work. And you're going to tell me that it's now used to cure cancer? I would be more prone to say it's probably something that's causing cancer. And we know it's caused a lot of problems. And you know what you could take a look at? I watched a video the other day of a guy from the insurance business. He said, you want to see how bad these COVID shots are? He says, go up to somebody who had COVID, original shot, then the 4 following boosters, and have them go try to get a life insurance policy. They won't get it. And he goes, and every single time that you go a little bit down, 3 boosters, 2 boosters, they're going to get less of a policy. You want to see the truth about that COVID vaccine? Look at the life insurance business, because they know this thing is killing people.
Also with donating blood, the American Red Cross had something, a form up that if you had the COVID booster to contact them before going through with scheduling a donation. So it's something where Trump is definitely, I think maybe he's just trying to push it because he doesn't like when Biden tries to take credit for him something, but I don't know if that's something he would want to really take credit for. And again, like Biden, I think, was campaigning originally on that his administration was going to cure cancer. He said a lot of things last night that he claims that, you know, his administration's going to do, that he also claimed that they were going to do 4 years ago. You know, whether it's now he wants to do all these tax hikes on millionaires and billionaires. Yeah, he wants to rewrite basically the Roe versus Wade, and that he's going to go after the Supreme Court. Like he just, everything he said last night, and the fact that immigration and the border issue was so far along into the speech, because I was waiting. I'm like, okay, he hit Ukraine. Okay, he hit Israel-Hamas ceasefire, which, you know, by the way, just Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and their crowd with their little signs of you know, always fighting for others rather than their actual American constituents. Just, I think,
yeah, others being foreigners is the better word there. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it is definitely.
Dennis, he said so many things. You're not alone. He said so many things that were just out of the park crazy. Ryan, play the over our voices right now. Play the video or the meme of the different facial expressions that we get from the Speaker of the House during this speech. I mean, the Speaker of the House was, I don't think he purposely wanted to show up Joe. It'd be a bad move. I just think what Joe was saying was so outrageous. He just couldn't control himself.
I mean, can't give him crap for, you know, Nancy Pelosi ripping up the speech itinerary for Trump was insanely more just ridiculously dramatic than, you know, to your point, like how do you sit there, right? You know, I'm sure if the camera was turned on more Republicans, you would see, or just maybe people in the crowd, regular Americans, you would see the eyebrow raises or the, you know, side eyes of like, did he really just say that? I mean, when he said, you know, America's safer than ever before under his administration, I mean, that had to be the one where everyone's like, you just got to throw your coffee cup because what? Like, what are you talking about?
It's like saying that the moon is a triangle. And everybody else knows that it's not, but you're going to sit up there and say that it's a triangle. And you say, whoa, what is he talking? You're safer today? Are you kidding me? You know, the other thing too, I mean, not to get too into policy, but you know, he was talking about how, like you said, he wants to start taxing everybody. He's going to tax corporations and all this other dumb stuff. If you think you got a bad economy right now,
yeah,
you watch what happens when you start plugging extra taxes on businesses and the people who run those businesses. Let me tell you what happens. You will take a horrific, inflated economy. You will take a housing market that is on the downside. You are going to take a stock market that I think is barely working on any real foundation, and then you are going to collapse the jobs market, because the minute you raise my taxes, I'm telling you right now as a business owner, if I got to give more money over to taxes, which is inevitably coming because somebody has to pay for all these 8 million illegal aliens that came in this year. Somebody has to pay for Ukraine. Somebody's got to pay for reamping our military, because right now we're screwed if we get into a war. Somebody has to pay for all this climate change voodoo. It's going to be us. And I'm telling you, if I got to do that, you guys are out of a job. I'm just going to shut down. Why am I? There is no sense to me to go work every single day and have to pay 35, 45, 55% tax. And that's where it's going to come. And I'll just say, screw this. I ain't doing this. I'm not doing this at all. And that's what it's going to be. And other people who can't shut down their businesses because they don't have enough money, what they're going to do is they're going to start massive layoffs. And then this just winds up going even worse. He doesn't know what he's doing. No. He's amped up on drugs. Ryan, I'll look for it right now if we have it. Hannity did it, like I said, Hannity did it perfect last night. That video of side-by-side of Joe Biden every day versus Joe Biden today is just outrageously awesome.
Administrator here with me, UK Administrator Regan, as well.
But they failed. America stood. America stood strong, and democracy prevailed.
And go ahead. I was going to say too, you know, the side by side of what he's usually like and then what he was last night. I mean, even take the side by side of what he was 10, 15 years ago. You would think it's two different people, not just based on obviously the age difference, but the messaging. I mean, I've been watching it. I've been watching old clips when he was a senator. I mean, he was hard on drugs. He was hard on illegal immigration. Like, this is not the same man. And that's why, and I saw it in the Team DML chat, I don't think he actually has a conceptual understanding of what he's saying and what is actually going on. I think he just gets the talking points. Even McCarthy had said it on a Fox interview that when he would go in for meetings with Biden, private meetings, he would have the cards. He would have, like, you know, the little notes.
Yeah.
So I mean, he is at a point where I don't think he has a real understanding of how bad that border actually is, how bad inflation really is in terms of impacting people. I mean, I know we're going to get into it, but
right,
Katie Britt had pointed out last night in her rebuttal, the senator, GOP senator from Alabama, you know, when's the last time Biden even drove a car or went grocery shopping, you know? So when you're in power for so long and you're so far removed from the simple every day-to-day things, you lose the concept of what actually Americans are going through. But now, combine that with his advanced age and the obvious dementia that's going on, I really don't think he has any kind of understanding of what's really happening.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't have an understanding. And if he did have an understanding, he wouldn't give a rat's ass anyway, Dennis. He's got an agenda. He's going to follow that agenda through. And whoever gets hurt in the way, it doesn't matter. Same reason that I just said to you that the Gold Star father is arrested. You think he gives a rat's ass? No, not at all. I want to play the video of Katie Britt. Katie Britt is the youngest woman ever voted in the Republican Party to the Senate. Ryan, play her rebuttal.
Good evening, America. My name is Katie Britt, and I have the honor of serving the people of the great state of Alabama in the United States Senate. However, that's not the job that matters most. I am a proud wife and mom of two school-aged kids. My daughter, Bennett, and my son, Ridgeway, are why I ran for the Senate. I'm worried about their future and the future of children in every corner of our nation. And that's why I invited you into our home tonight. Like so many families across America, my husband Wesley and I just watched President Biden's State of the Union address from our living room. And what we saw was the performance of a permanent politician who has actually been in office for longer than I've been alive. One thing was quite clear, though. President Biden just doesn't get it. He's out of touch. Under his administration, families are worse off. Our communities are less safe, and our country is less secure. I just wish he understood what real families are facing around kitchen tables just like this one. You know, this is where our family has tough conversations. It's where we make hard decisions. It's where we share the good, the bad, and the ugly of our days. It's where we laugh together. And it's where we hold each other's hands and pray for God's guidance.
You know, Dennis, your mother and I watched this together last night. And two things I have to say about this. Katie Britt looked as if she was auditioning last night for a Hollywood movie to show that she has range of, I could laugh, I can cry, I can be serious, I could be dramatic, and I could be light, and I could be a mom. You know, it was like, wow, man, the performance here is getting a C. Now, if you closed your eyes and you didn't look at the smiles and you didn't look at the dramatics and you could get rid of that crazy cadence she was using and the ups and the downs of the tones and you just heard the words, the message was great, but the delivery just washed it away. Your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, in my briefing, I wasn't too far off from a C. I gave her a B minus simply because, you know, it's not that hard to follow up on a Joe Biden speech, but to your point, it just, when you have a Joe Biden speech like that, you need someone with a little more fire and passion, especially when you have someone just blatantly going lie after lie after lie after lie for the hour that he spoke, if that. And to your point, like, she was just too tamed. She was too reserved. I think maybe she was trying to, overall in her theme, really go for moms out there
and
the family aspect. I mean, you know, she's there in the kitchen. But look, was it the worst rebuttal of all time? Absolutely not. Was it the greatest? Also, absolutely not. It was just, it wasn't necessary to watch after. I was actually about to go to bed and then they started playing. I'm like, all right, I'll sit through and see what she says. And to your point, it was a little just too practiced. Like, I would have liked to see a little more natural flair, but I also understand the rebuttal is never as easy to give because you don't have a giant audience and it's not, you know, in that environment. But I think they could have just chosen someone better. I think their overall point was that she's the youngest GOP female senator currently in Congress. But, you know, with everything we have at stake here, I think they could have just used someone maybe a little more hard hitting.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you on that one, because Trump's biggest loss in terms of support came from single mothers across the country. So I like the idea that they put the 40-year-old mother in there. I don't even have a problem with the kitchen. But you know, there's something that you get taught something in film school. I remember going to film school. He says, listen, you know, make it interesting. He says, if there's a train coming, let the train come speak for itself. You don't have to announce, by the way, a train's coming. The people can see it. She had to refer to her kitchen last night countless times. It's like, okay, I know you're in the kitchen. I see it. I see the faucet. I see the tile. Nice kitchen, by the way. It doesn't look like somebody's struggling over there.
She needs a new chair, though. Ryan pointed it out. Every time she shifted in the chair, you could hear the creak.
The creak?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. See, I was okay with it being her, but you know what Joe Biden's going to say. In fact, he gives his speech out before he goes on there. I would have done it differently. So I'll do it from the standpoint of, you know, let's pretend that Trump's biggest loss was the guy my age. Here's how I would do it if I was there, right? So here's how she did it. My bad. My father served in the Marines, and my father went through the jungles, and he fought the Vietnamese, and he came home, and they treated him like a villain. But now if he sees me today and here I am and I'm a senator, it's got to make him feel good. Now I'm coming from my garage and here's my 1959 Chevy. You'd be like, oh my God, stop it. Here's what I would have done with last night's speech if it's me giving it. I would have known what he was going to talk about. I would have said, I'm going to tell you straight up what you probably already know, what you probably already feel, what you probably already see. But let me just remind you of the numbers. Prior to coming into office, gasoline nationwide was about $1.75 a gallon. Today, you're paying $4. Joe Biden says he's done a lot for the economy. Before Joe Biden came in, the average cost of eggs around the country was a dollar. Today, it's $3. When you look at the mortgages in this country, the average mortgage was $1,700 a month. Now it's $3,200 a month, if you can even get one. Before Joe Biden came into this country, we had the most secure border we've had in this country for a very long time, dating back to even maybe before any of us even remembers. Today, we have 8 million people coming in across the border by Joe Biden. And I would have gone down those statistics. And then after I gave the hard-hitting, holy cow, he's reminded me of so much statistics, I would have played the video if I could have done so, or I've reminded people about people falling from the plane in Afghanistan. I mean, yesterday, our show, I was listening back to it in the car with your mother and Ashley, and they said, man, I really loved when you, Denny, and Ryan went around the circle to discuss all the bad things that Joe Biden has done. So I would bring those things up in bullet point, but I would talk to you like I was talking to you normally at a bar over a beer, you know, and I would have just gone in that direction and said, you have a choice. You could either vote for Donald J. Trump, who brought you all the better sides of what I just named, or you could vote for Joe Biden. That's the Republican message right now. If you want to make this country back into what it once was for yourself, go Donald J. Trump. You want to stick with this nonsense and have a guy who looks like he's all amped up on amphetamines, go with Joe Biden. And thank you very much. The person on the other side would say, oh, how refreshing. Somebody talked to me like they really want to talk to me. Not like she looked like she was an infomercial and she was trying to sell you on how it is that, you know, if you just buy this Stanley cup, I mean, I remember the days when I used to drink. Do you remember the days when you used to drink at school and you had your thermos? You know, it's crazy stuff. And the Republicans just don't know how to message. They've never known how to do it until Trump came. And still nobody in that entire frickin' GOP knows how to message other than Trump. And even he can use a little bit of help because sometimes he goes off too wide. Just talk to people like they are. You know, I'll end on this. One thing that people have said about, and this is a little Joe Biden. I'm going to tap myself on the shoulder. One of the things that people have said to me when they meet me is they say, you know what? You're exactly like you are on your podcast. You're exactly how you are, you know, and just you don't change it. And I don't understand why these politicians feel like they've got to do some kind of, you know, actress role. It just sounds crazy to me that they would do that. But a blown opportunity as far as I'm concerned. But that's that. Last message to you. And then I do want to give something that's very interesting that's going on. And I want to hear what Ryan has to say about the State of the Union. We haven't heard from him. Where do you think it goes from here, Dennis? Do you think he gets a pop?
Who, Biden?
Yeah.
If I had to predict what's going to be happening, at least for the rest of today and the next few days, you know, the Nancy Pelosi's, the AOC's, they're going to go on the defense of, or you know, I should say the Rachel Maddow's as well, and Joy Reid's and Joe Scarborough's. They're going to rehearse those same talking points, which is, you know, oh, it was great. It was the best State of the Union, blah, blah, blah. Well, the numbers don't lie. I would like to see what the actual Nielsen ratings are. I was actually looking up this morning, and his one from last year was the lowest of all time. I can only imagine what this one's going to be. Because even look, with the Team DML chat, it was great last night. But even trying to get people to stick through it, it's difficult. Because when you're watching something like that, you know, just lie after lie, you know, I think for normal Americans, everyday Americans who watched it last night, and maybe especially the independent base, and you see that all his talking points, again, are lies, or the same thing that he said 4 years ago that he just hasn't even claimed to have tackled or done, I think, or at least I would hope, they would see through that and be like, okay, this is just a charade at this point. And also, his demeanor, going from angry old man on the lawn, you know, shaking his fist, to the weird whispers towards the end of the he's not there. He's not there. The fact that they have to, you know, pump him up full of drugs to get through a, you know, 9 p.m. or in his case, a 9:30 p.m. speech, use your eyes. You see what reality is. This is not the man who should be president for another 4 years whatsoever.
Ryan, what did you think? Short little blurb here from you. What did you think of this?
Everything that you guys have said, you know, Joe Biden just looked juiced up. He just shot out lie after lie. And I think all the representatives in that room just looked so out of touch when they were conversing and smiling. And it's like, you know, this country's burning from the inside out and you guys are, you know, looking like you're having a picnic.
And I just got to say really quick, too, when you look at the wide shot of the Democrat aisle and then the wide shot of the Republican aisle, I don't think there's a more visual distinct difference of, okay, at least with the Republican side, as fed up as I get with them, they look the style of what a leader should be. And then you look at the Democrats and you get people with colored hair, you know, waving signs of other countries that aren't relative to us. Yeah. It looked like a clown show.
Well, we're going to say goodbye for the weekend here, but two other things in the news, which are very interesting, and we will talk about it, obviously, next week, God willing. But a federal judge has denied Trump's request to delay enforcement and ordered him to pay E. Jean Carroll $83 million by Monday or post bond, according to a filing on Thursday evening. A federal jury in January decided Trump must pay her $83 million, if you remember. So he's got until Monday to either pay $83 million or post bond. And that should be very interesting on how that plays out. I would tell them to go screw themselves and let them go confiscate his stuff, because now he's only going to grow stronger. I mean, it's going to take a little bit of balls on his end to do, but he's showed that he has balls. The other thing that, I mean, has nothing to do with politics, but I think this will be the pay-per-view event of our lifetime, meaning that there will never be more people around the world to chime into this event. Jake Paul, the YouTube star who has become a boxer, and I can tell you right now, as a guy who loves boxing, he's damn good. And I think he's won 9 of the 10 bouts that he's been in as a professional so far, and he's knocking people down. He's now going to fight against Mike Tyson, who's 58 years old. And Mike Tyson was in a exhibition match going back, what, a year or two ago, right? He fought, I can't remember the guy's name. He was one of the best boxers in history. But Tyson manhandled him. And it wasn't even like a real fight. It was just sort of like a little bit of a pounce around. I will tell you right now, this will be a real fight, because Jake Paul ain't going into it fake. And Mike Tyson, he wants to rip this guy apart. He says he wants to end him. If this actually happens, I'm telling you, it will be the biggest pay-per-view event in history. And my money is on freaking Mike Tyson, man.
I have been reading about that, and you're right. I think it'll definitely be a big pay-per-view event. I just hope there is more of an authentic outcome. I mean, look, there's no doubt Jake Paul has really grown as a boxer. But, you know, he does have that TikTok Vine popularity edge. So I think they knew what they were doing with this matchup. I'm hoping, though, it is an authentic, real fight. No punches are held back. No, you know, out-of-pocket calls are made.
If it's a bullshit fight, it'll be the last time that anybody gives money. But I don't think this one will be. I think this is going to be the real thing, because Jake Paul is going to take it seriously. If he doesn't, he ends his career. See, that's the whole thing. Jake Paul, you know, when Tyson did the last one, I can't remember the boxer he fought against. It's going to drive me crazy. I'm going to remember when it was over. He's one of the best boxers of all time. But he's no Mike Tyson. If Jake Paul goes in there and gives a fake match, he's done. Unlike Tyson and the guy he fought.
Roy Jones Jr.?
Yes, Roy Jones Jr. Yeah. Roy Jones is retired. Mike Tyson was retired. They had nothing to gain other than a whole boatload of money. In this particular case, Jake Paul is going to want to knock down Tyson and say he's the greatest fighter of all time. Tyson's not going to allow that to happen. Jake Paul's not going to fake it, because then he's never going to be taken seriously and he's never going to be heavyweight champion of the world. Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, this is going to be a real thing. I'm telling you, and my money is completely on Mike Tyson.
I was trying to remember too. I'm like, who was it that Jake Paul fought that everyone had an issue with the weight, because it felt lackluster? And it was Tyron Woodley back in 2021. If this fight with Mike Tyson is similar to that, I will be disappointed. But to your point, if this is a, and it's supposed to be on Netflix. Netflix bought the rights to it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then so whatever.
If this is a legitimate, authentic Mike Tyson ain't holding back, then, you know, I'm all for it. I can tell you right now,
on the Wine and Talk, which, by the way, is on tonight at 7 p.m. If you're a Team DML member, the Wine and Talk tonight is going to be a good one. The Wine and Talk tonight is about man versus woman. Who is the more dominant, important species? And I can tell you that I am going to have a lot of women be mad at me. But that's okay. It's okay. That's the wine clip for tonight. That's 7 p.m. We are going to play that on exclusively, like we do every single week on Team DML. But what we will do is, after it plays on the weekend, we are going to put it up on Facebook. So this way, just like this show, I want to have this show up on Facebook. We're going to start having this show up on Facebook, at least portions of it, because we got to bring more people into Team DML. We got to bring more people into the DML News app.
You should join if you're listening. Again, while the State of the Union was an absolute clown show last night, I would not have been able to sit through it if we didn't have our Team DML members in the chat. They made it all the more worth it. It was hysterical last night.
The other thing to look for is this weekend on TeamDML.com or on the DML News app, Internet Interaction 5 tab for Team DML memberships. If you go in there, you'll be able to see Dennis and Ryan. They do it twice a month. They do a whole cooking program. Last time it was the Republican raspberry shake or something like that. And now today, this weekend, I think you guys are doing a guacamole inspired by a movie that you recently watched. But I'll leave it at that. We've been going long here. Until the next time, which will be tonight at 7 p.m. or over the weekend with the boys or all of us together as a crew on Monday morning, God willing, we will talk to you soon. May God bless you, your family, and these United States.
And I would like to give today's blessing to Norma Gilbert, a great Team DML member.
Sounds great. Have a great weekend.
Get the Dennis Michael Lynch podcast every day by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And download the DML News app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store for breaking news, merchandise, films, exclusive content, and Team DML.